Good Friday. Today is February the 21st, and you're listening to My Farm. Well, pruning trees is not something most people want to go out and do this time of year, but it is time to start thinking about it, both in terms of the health of the tree and if we had any damage from some of the winter storm events. We're going to talk about what you need to know after this message from our sponsor.
Sponsored by Seed Consultants, simply the best value in the seed industry. Learn more at seedconsultants.com.
We're going to take a look out in the backyard and garden this morning, and you may recall about a week ago we had a couple ice events that went through, not necessarily ice storms, but where ice did build up on surfaces and on trees and branches, and in some cases, with a little bit of wind, that can cause damage. Snapping of small branches isn't a big deal, but you may have had some larger ones that broke, maybe not completely off, but are hanging, or you have different tree wounds that went on, and it's important to realize that those physical injuries caused by ice and windstorms can then lead to wounds that become exposed tissue that can open themselves up to canker pathogens and decaying microorganisms that will infect that tree later on. Now, obviously, it's too cold right now to worry about it outside. It's not something that we need to jump on this weekend, but it is something we need to make note of so that as the weather conditions get a little more appropriate, we can be out there and address those, probably with some pruning. And once we get into the early spring, that's a good time to prune, whether it's some of your fruit trees before the buds break, or if it's with our landscape trees. Now, despite the limitations we have, we prune trees obviously to maintain the aesthetic characteristics, to remove dead and diseased tissues, and also to improve the structure, but it can also be for treating wounds. So March through June is the time period we're talking about, depending on the tree and what you're trying to accomplish. Now, we should footnote this, I guess. If it's an older tree and you notice that it has severe decay, you may want to call in a local certified arborist just to assess the situation and determine if that tree actually needs to be removed altogether rather than trying to do some maintenance pruning. But when you prune, you need to determine what size the area is you're taking off. In other words, if it's a large diameter branch, you're going to want to make the initial cut of that out a foot or so away from the main trunk to remove that weight so it sort of drops away free. And then you can make a much more clean cut as best as possible, sort of flush with that trunk. Now, smaller branches or limbs, obviously, that can be done in one cut. It may just be even able to be completed with a sharp pruning shear or just a small saw other than a chainsaw. But again, if it's a small branch or limb you're trimming off, that you want to do flush with the collar of the other branch it's coming off. If it's a larger branch, you want to do that at the end. The final cut is flush with the tree. The sharper pruning tools that you use or cutting tools you use will make a cleaner cut and actually aid in the healing process for the wounds on that tree. Now, it is important to also keep in mind if there is damage to some of those branches from the ice, they aren't just going to make themselves better on their own. So for safety reasons also, especially if it's a larger branch or limb, it's important to get that taken care of in a timely fashion. Stay tuned. We'll be back with more after this message from our sponsor.
Williamson Crop Insurance, home of Decision Max. Decision Max allows you a simple solution to analyze your operation and make informed marketing and crop insurance decisions to mitigate your risks. Manage your whole operation in one place with the ability to blend counties, marketing, and insurance coverage to give a complete overview of your operation. Williamson Crop Insurance, protecting the Eastern Corn Belt since 1980. Learn more at cropcoverage.com.
Thanks, Joe. We want to change directions now just slightly in the backyard and garden, going from talking about trees to talking about lawns. And pollinators can live in and around your lawn or even on a golf course. But what are some of the best management practices when applying different pesticides to protect those pollinators? USDA's Rod Bain has this update.
Pollinator habitat. What comes to mind? A flower bed, fruit or tree orchard, a corner wheat field, wildflowers along the side of the road, a flowering bush, a lot of turf grass.
There are some turf species that produce seed heads where dispersal or movement, either through air currents or through pollinators, may be impacted by pollinating insects.
Yet according to North Carolina State University entomologist Terry Billison, seeing a significant number of pollinators in a home lawn or golf course, whether bees, butterflies, or wasps, indicates
the general health or general balance in terms of insect populations within the system.
Both in the number of non-pollinators living within a turf grass ecosystem and the flowering plant species within a lawn or golf course, such as those found in flower beds or within native grasses. Thriving insect species within such an ecosystem, both pollinators and others, means minimal use of pesticides from a best management practice perspective needs to be considered.
You want to adopt management strategies that have the smallest impact not only just on pollinators, but on those other beneficial insect populations as well.
Billison says the general concept is the same, regardless of ecosystem or environment. Yet, some best management practices are more feasible or flexible in a particular lawn, golf course, or turf ecosystem than others.
First of all, then an application is absolutely necessary. Very often we see that damage is misdiagnosed and people incorrectly assume an insect is at fault, and so they make an insecticide application. Insecticides, they're products designed to kill insects, and so misapplication of those is obviously going to be something that we want to avoid right off the bat.
So need to apply pesticides to a lawn turf ecosystem? Remove all flower heads from weeds by hand, herbicide, or turf mowing prior to the application. Another strategy, create a 2 to 3 inch mulch buffer zone between flowering ornamentals and turf grass. So when and how to apply pesticides? Billison's advice, think like a pollinator.
They're more likely to be active the months June through August, whenever temperatures are consistently above 60 degrees Fahrenheit. So if you can avoid making applications then, again, not always feasible, but whenever possible, that's kind of the first step.
Other tips to minimizing pesticide application, avoid neonicotinoids around flowering shrubs and trees, as well as application in windy conditions. And if possible, use a granular application instead of sprays, dust, and powders.
And then choosing a less toxic insecticide class. The homeowner, if you go to the hardware store, there are certainly some products you can select that are going to be way less toxic to bees than others.
I'm Rod Bain reporting for the U.S. Department of Agriculture in Washington, D.C.
Thanks, Rod. That's what's making agricultural news on my farm. For my 102.7 WMYW, I'm Dusty Sonnenberg. You have a great weekend.